Storytellers often claim that a vividly formed personality can take over a story. Now, this happens because behind such imagined beings are fully conceived characters with individual voices so compelling that they possess not only their teller, but their listeners as well. And if you want to be infatuated by compelling stories, and you've tuned into the perfect place. So what's your story on KPFT 90.1 FM? It's the coolest place, even a little cooler, I think, than outside right now on the dial, because we spotlight extraordinary tellers, both starters and stars, who share at least one thing in common. Each is an extraordinary person who engage us with stirring personal stories and treasured folktales by taking us on enchanted journeys and then returning us safely to the present. And a show like that can only take place right here on listener-sponsored KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, Professor of Communication at the University of Houston downtown. You know, the intellectual and creative achievements of many of our children cannot be overstated. Nor am I being excessive in praise when I tell you about the uncanny commitment I've seen by so many of their teachers. If you listen to this show on November 14th, then you'll remember Catherine and Elena, two students from Johnson Middle School, who graced this studio with riveting personal narratives. They were unforgettable. And you're not going to forget tonight, because we have two more superlative students from Johnson Middle. The young men sitting right next to me represent a continuation of the unbeatable combination of outstanding teaching plus a personal yearning for excellence. Zachary Johnson and Kendall Pickens are smart, creative, and I think they're getting ready to get started. Kind of anxious here, right, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me tell everybody who we are first. All right, okay, Zach is in the 8th grade, and he's been interested in guitar and broadcasting since the 6th grade. He plays baseball and runs cross country for Johnson and plans to play baseball in high school and college with the hope of joining the majors. We really hope you come to the Astros, because there's no way they could suck anymore, and you need to be on that team, right? You're a pitcher, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they need to boost that up. You have any confidence in the Astros?
Maybe a little bit.
That's very diplomatic. He might want to think about politics. When he retires, he wants to become a sports reporter, right?
Yes, sir.
Also in the 8th grade, Kendall enjoys both broadcast journalism and theater, but leans a bit toward broadcasting on the passion scale. He will probably attend Episcopal High School and then Georgetown University because of their broadcast journalism and football programs. Now, I pointed out to Kendall that he might be referring to their basketball program, because football at Georgetown? What are you kidding me? But he decided he's not going to Georgetown because he learned that Brian Gumbel went to Columbia.
Yes, sir.
So now it's Columbia, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what if I told you I went to a school? Wouldn't you want to go there? Don't answer that. Okay, I just thought I'd ask. But in the meantime, he's your favorite guy, isn't he?
Yes, I love Brian Gumbel.
I'm glad you guys are here. That's what I love. I love the fact that you guys are here. Kendall, football at Georgetown, huh? Well, okay, what are you going to do? Now, what do you love about broadcast journalism? That's what I want to know. What do you love about broadcast journalism?
Well, Dr. Hank, I love everything about broadcast journalism, from writing, speaking, and editing. I just love the curriculum. It teaches you so much and really broadens your horizon.
Why are you so articulate? We don't have people like you on the show. You're much too intelligent for the show. Get out of here. All right. In the meantime, that's beautiful. Now, you guys are Johnson celebrities, aren't you? I mean, you must be celebrities. Are you not?
Well, definitely.
Well, what happened after the two gals were on here? Did you guys just kind of, was there a banner? Was there something happening at the school that celebrated the fact that they did such a magnificent job?
Not really.
Not really?
It wasn't.
You didn't do anything?
Well, no. The Greyhounds were supportive. Like, they were happy that we're going on the air.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. And we're going to get to you guys in just a moment, because we're excited about this. You know, a few weeks ago, Catherine and Elena talked about how terrific your teacher, Miss Arlt, is. And I know she's a little under the weather. And she was supposed to be here tonight, but I want you guys to talk about her, because I know she's an extraordinary teacher, and I know that the class that she teaches in broadcast journalism is a pretty creative venue. Kendall, tell us a little bit about what you think about her. I know it's all wonderful, but tell us a little bit about her style. What motivates you about her style?
Well, Miss All is one of those teachers, who pushes her students to their true potential and makes them great overall people in and outside of the classroom. To me, she's the definition of a true teacher.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I met her, and I'll tell you, I don't think that's an over-exaggeration at all. She's a pretty special lady. Zach, what do you think?
I think she pushes all her students to do the best that they can.
Yeah. How does she push you?
She gives me a lot of hard stories. Like last year, she gave me a story to do all by myself, a story on the bulletin.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, a story by yourself? What does she have you do, exactly?
I filmed it. I did the intro, outro.
No kidding.
I put it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, Roxy is out there. We're going to replace her with you in just a few minutes. Oh, we're just kidding. Relax. Roxy is a fabulous person, and she's already nervous because we were paid so much here, like nothing. She's already worried about getting fired. In the meantime, what do you guys want to add? Anything else? No? We're good with that? Because she's pretty special, and you've got a pretty good teaching staff there at Johnson Middle.
Definitely.
Zach, your dad is out there, and Kendall, your mom is out there, two terrific people, and they're so proud of you, and they should be.
Yes, sir.
And I was telling them that I have to tell you, Johnson Middle, and Roxy's going to talk about this later, too, because she went with me. We were incredibly impressed about your school. HISD sometimes gets a bad rap, but they are pretty, pretty magnificent. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But Kendall, your story, is called We're Getting Robbed. And I understand that's a true story.
Yes,
correct?
Sir.
Let's hear it. What's your story?
Well, it was a hot summer night. I was sound asleep in my game room when suddenly I heard the alarm chime beep. I was confused. Who could be at the door at midnight? So I checked my windows, which are kind of foggy, and I saw what made out to be a couple Hispanic males loading up a truck. At that moment, I had a fully-fledged panic attack because I knew we were getting robbed. I slapped myself a couple times to try to pull myself together, and I went to my brother's room, who was sound asleep. I gently picked him up and took him to my sister's room. The good news was my sister was up, but the bad news was she was FaceTiming her boyfriend. She was arguing with me, telling me that I'm crazy and we're not getting robbed, and she really just didn't want to hang up with her boyfriend. So then I had to think of something on the spot, and I started to fake cry, thanks to my great acting teacher, Miss Wood, and she believed me, and we turned off the lights and hid in her closet. Call 911, I said. She told me we had to call my mom and dad first. We called both my mom and my dad. None of them answered. So then we had to go to Plan C, calling the cops. When we called 911, the operator picked up. 911, what is your emergency? I'm a 13-year-old boy hiding in a closet and we're getting robbed. It was funny because she was so calm and I was freaking out. Then she replied with, help is on the way. We were waiting and waiting and waiting, and the cops were a no-show. I was crying and shaking. I was sweating. My heart was pounding up and down. I was a hot mess. And then we heard a voice. I thought it was the robbers, and I was praying to God, if you get me out of this one, I owe you. And the voice came closer and closer. Miles? Kendall? Haley? We creaked the closet door open, and to my surprise, my mom was standing right there. What are you doing? She screamed at us. And we could have asked her the same question. Then we sat her down and told her all of our stories. Then she told us it was my aunt, my uncle, and her loading up a truck for the garage sale they had the very next day, and my mom's side of the family's Hispanic. And then she said that the cops did come to our house, but she told them that no one was getting robbed here and redirected them to another house. Then at that moment, we knew we had to call the cops back. When we called the cops, we made a big apology, and they weren't too happy. We're probably on their wanted list now. And all my mom had to say from this whole entire event is, thanks for racial profiling me, Kendall. I laughed, but it was sadly true. Then I told my mom one thing. Don't tell Dad, who was asleep through all this madness. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. That was fabulous. I have to tell you, that was a magnificent. Do you have that written down?
No.
Write it down. What is wrong with you? Write that story down. That is a fabulous story. That was beautifully sequenced. You had a terrific plot. It was condensed. It was tight. You had great conflict, great tension. You had a protagonist. You had all the features of a terrific story. That is a magnificent story. And the way that you told that just unfolded right in front of your eyes. Beautiful story. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you to do now, right? Fake cry. Go for it.
It's kind of hard. Just have to be in the moment. You just have to be in the.
Give me what you don't want to disappoint your theater teacher. Give me a fake cry. Do that. Go ahead. Go for it. Okay. All you have to do is think of me and how pitiful I look. Doesn't that help? Yeah, there you go. That's a laugh. You think about that cry. We're going to get to you in just a moment. And I want to ask you the same question, though, Kendall, that I asked your two classmates a few weeks ago. What is it that you want your listeners to feel after hearing that story? That really was a wonderful story. What do you want them to feel?
Well, it wasn't funny to me at the time, but now when you look back at it, it's hilarious. And you know, Dr. Hank, it's the holiday time, and I just want everyone to be in that cheerful mood.
Yeah, that's what you want them to think about. So you don't want them to think about this as being a sad story, because it really isn't. It had a real humorous topspin.
No, sir. Right. I want them to laugh.
Absolutely. Zach, you play baseball.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do you play? You play pitcher?
Pitcher, shortstop, outfield, but pitching's what I want to do.
You're a real utility man, right? You like
yes,
that?
Sir.
Yeah. Are you a good hitter?
Pitching's my thing, but yeah, I'm a decent hitter.
We're gonna listen to your story in just a few minutes, because yours is a true story as well, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I just want everybody to know that they are enjoying sensational, and I mean sensational, student tellers from Johnston Middle School, Kendall Pickens and Zach Johnson on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston and 89.5 on the island and 90.3 with our friends in Livingston. This is Hank Rubicek with sidekick Roxy Russell. Roxy, how are you?
I'm great, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great. And your Thanksgiving, how was it?
Oh, it was so good. I was so happy to be home. For even a week, it was great.
Spoiled? Were you spoiled? Yeah.
Yes, I was a little bit for a couple days, and then they got over me. And they're like, go back to Houston.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we all want you back here. Thank God for that. You know, your Thanksgiving show last week rocked. Roxy did her own show for the very first time, and she interviewed and had a fabulous storyteller on who gave a riotous story. That was
a great story.
That was more funny than the law allowed, I have to tell you. Mm-hmm. That was a terrific story about why sheep, why you can't count them. It was a mind-boggler. For those of you who didn't hear it, you got to get on the archives and listen to it from last Thursday. Now, you went to Johnston Middle School with me, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you a few weeks ago. We were blown away when we met them.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that just impressed you?
I'm really impressed with their professionalism at their age, and I, you know, they are so welcoming and so, you know, eager to talk to you, and they're so, I think they're natural storytellers. I feel like storytelling also comes, you know, from natural ability to introduce yourself and market yourself, and I think these two guys are a great example of that.
And I think that's a beautiful thought, and I appreciate that, and I agree. You're very expressive. You know, expression is a very comprehensive process. It has to do with voice. It has to do with gesture, posture, facial expression, and you've got the entire system down. Our listeners can't watch you, but I just want everyone to know that as you're telling the stories, and Zach, I even noticed when you were responding to some of my questions, you guys gesture. You get into it. You don't just sit there and speak. You don't just use your voice. You use your entire body to complement the really good things that you say. And that's why I think you paint verbal pictures so beautifully. And we see them so very, very clearly. Zach, your story is entitled The Underdog, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this is also a true story.
Yes.
We're looking forward to it.
Everyone who knows me knows I love baseball. I want to be in the MLB one day. And my favorite player is late 1960s Cardinals pitcher Bob Gibson. My baseball team, the Kings, went out for their first practice after about New Year's this year, hoping to start a great season, all leading up to our trip to Cooperstown, where our biggest tournament of the year was held, with 104 teams. It was basically the World Series. So the 2 months that followed, our team played pretty bad. We were all in slumps, fielding. I mean, all aspects of the game. It was just bad. A kid even quit because of the disappointment. So, but for some reason, after he quit, that sparked our team. And we went on a hot streak going about 34-10 in the streak. But it was a great time. It was because that tournament, we got fourth, but it was a big tournament. And it was all leading up to Cooperstown, which was our World Series. So when we arrived in Cooperstown, it's a big complex. We stayed at dorms there. They had their own complex there. We went to line the mess hall before our game, before our first games. And this team from Tennessee was like, started making fun of us because we were so little. And we were just coming here to play baseball and win the tournament. We were so surprised and shocked. But we went and played our six pool games where we would be seeded, and we ended up being seeded number one out of all the teams. And I threw a no-hitter during the six games, the fourth game. And then it was championship day, a couple days after. And we went down to the batting cage to hit before our quarterfinal, semifinal championship game. And there was a team out of Florida making fun of how little we were again. They were like, you're not a good one seed. They're trash, pretty much. So we won our quarterfinal game on a walk-off home run. We won our semifinal game against the team that was making fun of us at the mess hall. And then all to the championship game, where we faced the team out of Florida who were making fun of us again. And we beat them 10-6. We won the whole thing. We were jumping up and down. The stands were really big. There's about 3,000 people in there, and they were all like applauding and everything. It was so awesome. Just think we overcame all that. So much obstacles and everything. It was so great. That's my story.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I love that. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. You're smiling a lot when you tell that story, right? You're into it.
Yeah.
You did overcome a lot of obstacles, but what I think is very cool is that it's clear to me, at least, that you're the kind of guy who really just surfaces with all this excellence as soon as somebody tells you you can't do it, right?
Yeah,
somebody tells you you can't do it, you say, yeah, right, just watch me.
Yeah, when they were making fun of us, that pushed us to do even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for you. Good for you. What do you want us to learn from that story? How do you want us to feel
that
after that story?
Life is always full of obstacles that they're not easy to overcome, but if you persevere, there's always a way to push through them.
You believe that? You think
yes.
There's always a way? There's
yes.
Always a way to solve a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. What happens if a person really can't find a way to solve a problem? What do you say? What kind of advice would you give somebody?
I'd say,
who says,
don't feel down about it. Just keep trying.
Yeah. And this baseball story, I think, would be a great anecdote. It'd be a great way to get them to understand
it.
Do you use this story as a way to motivate you to do other things? So do you ever think about the story if you get down on other subjects or you know, things are happening in your life that are less than wonderful? Do you ever turn to the story and think about, hey, I remember what I did on that baseball team?
I mean, I always think of that story because it's a big part of my life. And, yeah, probably I've thought of that. Just to overcome anything.
Yeah. Wonderful. You know, whether a storyteller in the oral tradition, or we're talking filmmakers, painters, writers, musicians, any kind of artist, one of the highest compliments that we can offer an artist is to say that he or she is a storyteller. Roxy said a little while ago that you guys are natural storytellers, and I've made that point on this show on many occasions. Everybody is a natural storyteller. They've got stuff to tell. And it's a matter of doing what you gentlemen do so well. You put them in sequence. You add color and texture to your words. You carve this beautiful picture. And I wish people are listening to you, because as I was telling, I think your dad in particular, we're really having a problem in the world as far as getting our share at demonstrating our sense of literacy, because we're falling behind the world, this country.
We're busy on our phones.
Oh, yeah, we're busy on our phones, right? I love you, right? Great big you, right? We very rarely put together a sentence. But you guys rock in terms of demonstrating very clearly what we can do when we can shape ideas and feelings. Because what you do best is that you put things in narrative form. That's what you do. And a narrative isn't the story itself, but it's rather the telling of the story, the sequence, the tone, the connection of feelings and ideas. And that's what you guys do so well, and I'm so pleased to hear you do it with the kind of passion and soul that most people don't put into the work that they carve.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, and talking about storytelling and what might be on people's minds, Roxy and I do a little segment that's called Tip for the Teller. It's a segment when we learn something about storytelling from a question asked by one of our listeners. Who's on first tonight?
Well, it is Mary from Houston, and Mary wants to know why so many stories are sad.
Why so many stories are sad? That's a good one. And I gave this a little bit of thought, and hopefully this makes sense. First of all, hi, Mary. You know, when asking this question, I assume that you're referring to many of the personal narratives told on this show. And, you know, I think about photographs, because typically photographs capture positive moments in our lives, right? People smile. They appear to be feeling good, even somewhat jolly. And better still, we can discard, we can throw pictures away that we don't want. And we usually can't erase those from our experience base. Emotions like despair and depression, anxiety, are usually not foreshadowed in the snapshots that we collect. Stories cannot be constructed, however, on a whim. And unlike a photo, once they are shared, they can't be thrown away. However, sadness, anger, unhappiness are all real emotions, and they need to be released and oftentimes revealed in order for the owner of those emotions to heal. And I think that might be one reason for sad stories, because we have time to contemplate, to ponder, and craft a message that does our feeling justice. We have time to prepare a story. And I hope that makes sense, Mary, and thank you so much for a chance to respond to your question. Roxy, why don't you tell the world what they need to do to have their questions answered on the air?
Well, if you have questions about storytelling you'd like answered on the show or want to be a guest on So What's Your Story, please send in your questions or story ideas to ruby.story@gmail.com. That is ruby.story@gmail.com, and we will get back to you. Now, also, we are getting closer and really excited about our call-in show on December 19th and 26th, when we'll listen to you share your 2 to 3 minute holiday stories. Now, the number you need to call is 713-526-5738. Now, that is 713-526-5738. Now, I'll remind you of that number and essential information on our Facebook page, so be on the lookout.
Thank you, Roxy. You know, first of all, you guys, I want you to say something to our listeners. Why is it important for them to collect their family stories and call in? You're going to probably call in, aren't you? Just for the fun of it?
Yes, sir.
You might, unless you're in bed. You'll be out here at night, right? But tell us, really, why is it important for people to take this seriously, to think about their family stories, and to call them in and to share it with us?
Well, maybe there's people out in college, like my sister, or mom and dad's out overseas, and maybe you just come up, call the station and share your story, because so people that aren't with their family can feel like they're at home.
That's a beautiful thought, and I want listeners to know this is totally extemporaneous. This is not on a script. I'm asking these two gentlemen honestly how they feel about the family stories, and that's a beautiful thought. It really is a way of connecting, you know, not so much physically, but vicariously through that human narrative. Experiences, in many ways, validate human life. When we talk about things that we've experienced, we recollect those powerful moments that are worth remembering. And that means that we've got these great memories that are frozen in time, and when we tell a story, we essentially allow them to thaw, and that's a good thing. Zach, what do you think?
I think you should always keep family stories, because you never want them to get lost, because you want to kind of remember how, let's say, my great-grandmother was like, or my great-grandfather was like. I never knew them, really, but yeah. I kind of want to know their personality. You don't want to just lose anything about your family.
That is a beautiful thought. Does your dad ever tell you about your grandma?
Definitely.
Yeah. And you have a lot of questions, right?
Some. Yeah.
What's one question you have about your grandmother?
A lot about her family. She lost a lot of her family in a car crash.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
So, yeah, stuff about them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It has to be difficult sometimes to think about not knowing that information because it just left you so quickly in a way. Wow. Well, that's good. That's good. Thank you so much for those insights. That's terrific. I want everybody to know that we'd love you to visit us on Facebook under So What's Your Story for a litany of storytelling announcements, tips and activities, and more. And we want you guys to join us as well and offer your own insights because, my goodness, you've got a lot of them. And when Elvis has left the building, when you leave Facebook, we sure would love it if you could like us when you leave the page. Roxy, the Houston Storytellers Guild rules as far as the premier storytellers group, and we want everybody in our listener audience to know that there's a great way for them to learn about storytelling. Tell us a little bit about HSG.
Well, any and every story lover in Houston should go to the monthly story swap held by the Houston Storytellers Guild on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the St. Andrew's House at 1811 Heights Boulevard. And check out their site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings.
Thank you, Roxy. You're listening to So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston with storytellers, and I mean storytellers incarnate, Kendall Pickens and Zach Johnson from Johnston Middle School. And I'm your host, Dr. Hank, with Roxy Russell. Who's your favorite sportscaster? Now, it's got to be Brian Gumbel, but tell us why. Why he dresses well, doesn't he?
Yes, he dresses very good.
Nice shoes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Well, Brian Gumbel really knows his sports, and he finds great stories, like not just the old sports story. He finds inspirational stories to motivate his listeners.
Really good. That's a good insight. I hadn't really noticed that, but I think he's great, and I think you're right. He is very motivating. He engages his listeners very well. Zach, what about you? You got a favorite sportscaster?
Mine is probably Dick Vitale. He...
Who?
Dick Vitale.
Oh, okay. I'm old. I forgot. Okay, gotcha.
He broadcasts a lot of NCAA basketball games, and he's just famous for how much he gets into all the games and everything.
Yeah, who's gonna be the Final Four this year? You have a notion?
Duke will.
Yeah, Roxy, write this down. We have to make some money.
Kansas Duke? University, Duke? Andrew Wiggins.
Kansas will.
Kansas, Duke. What about Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Yeah, I went to Ohio State. It would be politically wise for you to say
Louisville.
Kevin Ware.
All right. You know, to tell a story, everybody needs to know this, to tell a story, a personal story like the two of you did, really does require a lot of character and courage, and for such stories, we really do test the boundaries of the human heart. Zachary Johnson and Kendall Pickens, thank you for your awesome stories. Each were doused with inspiration and soul. And thank you to your parents and the teachers at Johnston Middle School for helping to produce students like yourselves. You make us all proud. Storyteller and frequent guest Jay Staley is going to be with us next week. And you stay tuned because Scooter is up next. In the meantime, you guys are absolutely wonderful. And all of you are listening to, right now you're listening to Ray Lynch and Clouds Beneath Your Knees. Some of you want to know what that beautiful tune is to give us that outro. To all our listeners, keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. This is Hank Rubicek and Roxy Russell on So What's Your Story? One of the Power Hour programs on this Thursday night on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Make KPFT a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. and ease into your weekend right. In the meantime, we want you to know that you got to be good to each other around this holiday season in particular. And I'm Dr. Hank, always reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Good night.